Number 51 in the series. Tonight we'll be discussing a very interesting personality, Achitophel, and the end of Avshalom, the end of his rebellion and his personal demise. So David is on the run, having ignominiously fled Yerushalayim, heading to the east. Eventually, he flees to Midbar Yehudah, the Judean desert. Eventually, he'll head to Eber HaYarden. If he never returns, his Malchus is finished. And since he doesn't know the end of the story, he doesn't know whether he's returning or not, whether his kingdom will be reestablished, and the great hopes expressed in him will be realized, or when it's over. You know, the personalities in Tanakh, they were never as sanguine as we are when we read about it, because we know the end. He doesn't know. Worse, he doesn't know anymore who his friends are and who his enemies are. Most of the country is turned against him. Anyone with any grievance, which a leader always has, now takes shots at him because he's down and joins the opposition and tries to exact whatever retribution they can from him. And worst of all, the rebellion against David is led by his son, Avshalom. So let's start in number one. It's Perek Tezvov, Pasuk Lamed. The David Oleh B'Maleh Zeitim. David ascends on the Mount of Olives. Maleh Zeitim, by the way, is a new area where Irving Moskowitz built some apartment buildings. It's called Maleh Zeitim, right overlooking Har Zeitim. Oleh uvocheh, he ascends, he's crying. Verosh lo chafui, his head is wrapped as a sign of avelus. V'olech yochef, and he's going barefoot. V'chol am asher ito chafu ishro sho ve'olu olo uvocho. All the people with him, meaning all those who fled for their lives, the supporters of David, and those who felt that Avshalom would not accept them and maybe execute them, so they fled as well. V'David higid leimor, David was told by someone, Achitofel bakoshrim im Avshalom. Another bitter blow, that Achitophel, his trusted advisor, is among the conspirators with Avshalom. Vayomer David said, Sakel no satsas Achitophel Hashem. God, please nullify the counsel, the advice of Achitophel. Now, we'll get back to that in a moment. First, we meet another character. David came to the top of the mountain and he prostrated himself to God. Hushai Arki, a friend of David. Hushai, literally from the town of Arki. Karua Kutanto, with his tunic torn because it's a sign of mourning. Vadama Rosho, and dirt on his head. If you come with me, you'll be a burden to me. Chazal say he was very old. And he said to Hushai Arki, if you go back to the city, you'll tell Avshalom that I was your father's servant and now I'll be your servant. In this way, you'll be able to nullify Achitophel's advice. Who was Hushai Arki? So Chazal say he really was instrumental in saving David. He's one of David's few friends. The next pasuk discusses Sadok and Avyasar, the Kohanim, who came with David also. Last time we discussed Itai Hagiti, and they were the leading personalities along with Yoav ben Tsruya, who remained faithful to David. Hushai Arki plays a vital role in saving David, so vital that the Medrash Shochar Tov defines his name, explains his name, Hushai Ha'arki, Arki, the long one, Shehoyim Ma'archei David, he was, through him, David was lengthened, or Malchus David was lengthened. Shayodo Nizbatus O Malchus based David. Through him, Malchus based David was reconfirmed, reestablished, because of the intervention of Chushai Arki, which we'll get to in the next parak. First, the first thing that he did, a very incredible chazal, is he saved David from despair. Look at number two. It's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Vikesh David Lavad Avad Azara. David wished to worship idols. That's how low he had fallen. Shenemar, the Pasuk says here, Vahi David Ba'ad HaRosh. David came to the head, to the summit, the top. Asher Yishtachav Esham Lelokim, and there you bow down to God. Ve'en Rosh El Avad Azara. You don't find that expression used except in reference to idolatry. The Pasuk says in the New, Hutsalmo Reshe Didahav. His head was of gold. V'nelik raso Chushai arki karua kutantov adama rosho, omar lo l'David. Chushai said to David, Yomru, people will say, melech shekemoscho, yavar avar azara, a king of your caliber, he's going to serve idols? Omar lo, so David answered, melech shekemosi, yargeru b'no, a king of my caliber, his own son will kill him. Mutav yavar avar azara, by Yeschal Shem Shemayim Befer Hesya. Better it should be said that Avshalom killed me because I became an idolater, because then at least God's name wouldn't be profaned. So of course, it's not that David suddenly lost his faith in God. David lost faith in his survival. And always solicitous of Kod Shemayim, he saw this as a viable possibility, that if he pretends to worship idols, then when Avshalom kills him, at least it won't be a Chil Hashem. The people will say he deserved it. What did Hushai tell him, though? The Navi really doesn't say what he said. So the Gemara elaborates that Hushai Arki told him, he refuted his argument, and he said, no, it will be Chil Hashem if Melech Kamoscha serves idols, if a king of your caliber. Because people will see David, Melech Yisrael, Nimz Mir Yisrael, serves an idol, worships an idol. How could that be? So David says to them, explain to me why this is happening. So Hushai said, it's Midah Keneged Midah. Who's Avshalom? Since we discussed a while back, we learned about Amnon and Tamar. Avshalom, like his sister Tamar, were the children of Yefas Tohar, of a captive woman that David had captured on the battlefield. So Chazal say here, in darshaning the psukim in Kitetse, where this is brought, that if you marry a Yefas Tohar, what's the next parsha? Ben Soar Umora. If you marry Yefas Tohar, so naturally there'll be inconsistencies in raising the child. They're from different backgrounds. The whole marriage itself is founded on something which is not completely pure. So it stands to reason that if you marry Yefas Tohar, Sofo Leos Benum Ben Sohar Mora, the child will be a rebellious child. So Hushai said that's exactly what happened here. So therefore, you married the Shavisa Shivya, so Kielish Ben Sohar Mora. David was comforted by this, because he saw in this Onesh the Yad Hashem. And one sees that, then that itself is a consolation. David then sends Hushai to Yerushalayim, to Avshalom, essentially to function as his mole. Hushai, in the end, is somewhat more than that. But now we come to Achitofel. Achitofel was David's Rebbe. David's Rebbe. So we're all familiar with the Mishnah Avos in the sixth parak, Mishnah Gimel, number 7. Halomed mechavro perak echad, halocha achas, o posuk echad, o dibur echad, afilu os achas. The person learns from his friend even one parak, or halocha, one posuk, one dibur, one os, tzarech linod bo kavod. You have to honor that friend. Obviously the closest friends we have, or should have, are those who teach us Torah. Those who share even one idea. Because that is inherently tied to our perfection, as opposed to those, you know, sit and watch a ball game with us. It's a lesser level of friendships. A person who teaches one idea, one pasuk, one parak, even one oz, you have to show him kavod. Shekim otzina b'David melech Yisrael shalolomar machitofel el shnei dor milvad. David learned only two things from Achitofel. Chazal say two pretty mundane things. Ukro rabo alufo miudo, and he called him my Rebbe, my champion, my teacher. he paid Achitophel all this honor. Achitophel was the counselor to David HaMelech. Lahavdil, he was the Karl Rove of the day, except without the pretensions to Melucha that I understand Mr. Rove does not have, which Achitophel did. So, for example, if you look at number 6, the Gemara says in Brachos about Gimel Beis, that the day would start, David's day would start at midnight, they'd learn, people come to Shilas. Miyad Yoatzim Achitophel with the Melucha of Sanhedrin. The Shilas came up, they first consulted Achitophel, and then went to the Sanhedrin. And on political matters, to the Urim Batumim. That's the esteem in which he was held. Tremendous Talmud Chacham as well. The leading, probably the leading Talmud Chacham of the day. So, astute. So look at number 10. It's the Gemara Chagiga, Daf Tezvav Mebez. Amar Biyami, Tlas Mea Baya, Bo Doeg, Vachitofel, Bemigda Haporech, Bavir. Doeg, who's almost a bookend to Achitofel, but Doeg was to show a great Talmud Chacham, who turned sour, distorted the Torah for his own purpose, and instigated Shaul against David. That's what Achitophel was for David. The two of them, though, dealt with 300 shilas relating to Migdal Parech Bavir, a tower that flies through the atmosphere. What's the Migdal Parech Bavir? So, in fact, you see in the Rishonim, there are different explanations of how the Migdal is Parech Bavir, but now we know what it is. It's a plane. They knew of its existence in terms of its technological possibility. It wasn't feasible then, but they dealt with the shilas, and we today, of course, benefit from these discussions. How a Migdal HaParech Bavir, literally a tower that floats through the atmosphere, how that is tied into Tuma Tahara. Is Tuma Ola Lashemaim, etc. All these halachas are dealt with. Makam HaMikdash, etc. So they dealt with, and it's all theoretical. So theoretical, in their time, they couldn't imagine the case physically, in a realistic sense, but abstractly it existed. So it's the most abstracted, abstract shilas possible, and they dealt with them. That is the level of chachma, of knowledge of Torah, that Doeg and Achitophel were on. Like some advisors, the worst type of advisors, he saw himself as greater than the king that he serves. By the way, it's not uncommon. You have that even today. Very often in Congress, a congressional aide will run for the seat of the of his boss when that person moves out or up. Rarely will they challenge because it's offensive, but they always see themselves doing a better job. You always find that the people behind the scenes, the machers, they think they know better. In politics, it's very common. To be a politician, you have to be somewhat of a glib charlatan, not always an idea man, but the idea man thinks he should be the one who's up front, but he's not the glib charlatan, so why should he do it? But they think they're really the ones with the knowledge. It does happen. And Achitophel was that sort as well. He saw himself as Roy Lamalchus, and he also had a very interesting personal grievance against David that he harbored, apparently just waiting for the opportunity to exact vengeance from David. What was that? Let's look at number 4. The beginning of the story of Bathsheba and David. By Ishlach to David Caesar, he sends Vaidrosh Lisha, Vayom, he says, Halo Zos Bathsheba Bas Eliam Meshes Uri Achiti. Isn't that Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? Who was Eliam? So at the end of Shmuel Beis, Perchav Gimel, Eliam ben Achitophel Hagiloni. So in fact, Achitophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. So he did not appreciate, apparently never conveyed it to David, but he did not appreciate the way David mistreated Bathsheba, taking her almost as chattel away from her husband, even though she was now Re'uya L'malchus. Nonetheless, he harbored the bitterness towards David HaMelech. This point about Doeg being a great Talmud Chacham, you remember we discussed when we came across, I'm sorry, Achitophel being a great Talmud Chacham, we discussed when we spoke about Doeg, that you could have a person with a great knowledge of Torah, but it doesn't penetrate. It's a book knowledge almost. He knows all the halacha, but it doesn't touch the soul. So it has surface wisdom, but it doesn't perfect him. This point is made in the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, number 11. Speaking by Korach, by Yikach, Shilachacho Libo. All right, he quotes the Pasuk now in Tehillim Nun Hey. Ki Oyev Yechafeini, my enemy, David says, should not embarrass me. Zed Doeg Vachi Tofel. Shai Mechorfin Oso. Doeg and Achitofel were blaspheming, castigating David in the most vicious tones. Shehoya Adam Gadol b'Torah Um Yidoi Sheinosev Enosev Balacha. He was a great person in Torah. He was equipped to discuss any area of halacha. Bevei Amar Velozar. I'm just skipping the Medrash. Atas Minus Hoya Bahen. Both of them, notwithstanding their greatness in Torah, had a little heresy in them too. Lemaha Yudomin, to what are they compared? Levi Shumoli Tevin, Rebevai Schorin, Re Tevin Nichnas Bohem, like a house that was filled with straw, and the house, the walls of the house had holes in them, and the straw would poke through the holes. Lachar Yomim Hiskil Osa Tevin Shay Besoch Osan Achorin Yotzei. And it came to pass that over time the straw just poked its way all the way through the holes. So too here, Yamsa Yotzei Yadu Akoki Hoya Osa Bayishal Tevin. When it pokes out, people know that it's just a storehouse of straw, nothing else. Kach Doeg Vachitofel Lohoya Bahemitzos Mitchilo Afa Pisha Nasu Bnei Torah Hoki Tchilosan Havoi. Yes, the Doeg and Achitofel was the same thing. They're like that house of straw. So when it looks like a house, that people think there's something to it. When the straw starts sticking out through the perforations, then people realize that it's only straw. And that was Achitofel also. He wasn't perfected at all. And then when he gained in Torah, he became even less perfected, more corrupt. And that happens as well. So we say, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, you need Yiras Hashem. If you put Torah in someone not Yiras Hashem, without Yiras Hashem, it's not going to work. In fact, Chazal say, give me a second, that some people, they gain in Torah, so they gain in armumius also, cleverness, even deviousness, because the Torah sharpens the mind. But it could sharpen your mind to be corrupt also, to be crooked, and that's what happened to Achitofel. Yes. It could be to know that. It could be to know that. Yeah, well, one thing that we'll see, I hear you, one thing we'll see is Achitofel, as bright as he was, did not act rationally here. Besides choosing the wrong horse, he didn't act rationally in the advice he eventually gave to Avshalom, and so he meets his end as well. We'll see that in a few moments. In any event, so this is a possibility. So the Gemara Brachos in 9, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, says that part of the tefillah that we say, Shalotei si aseinu kisi aslan shal David, shiyotza mimenu achitofel. We pray, we're involved in any holy cause, Talmud Torah, our group should not be like David's group, from whom Achitofel emerged, nor like Shaul's group, from whom Doeg Padomi emerged. So what kind of Russia was he? Pretty bad. Number 8, the top left, the Gemara, the Mishnah actually, the beginning of Peretz Chelek in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph, Shlosha Melachim V'Arba Hedyotos Ein L'Chev L'Mabo. There are 3 kings and 4 commoners who have no share in the world to come. So the 3 kings, Yerovim and Nevat, Achav, Menashe, Arba Hedyotos, the 4 commoners, Bilam, Doeg Achitofel, and Gehazi, the aide of Elisha Novi. Doeg and Achitofel, their sins were so heinous, their rebellion was so grave, that they forfeited their share in the world to come. That's, you never want to bring a misfit into any holy group. Unfortunately, you don't always know. Now, what exactly did Achitofel do? So he did join Avshalom. By the way, a piece we're skipping in the Novi, Perek Tet Zayin, deals with a story we did when Tziva comes out. Remember Tziva Mephibosheth? Tziva now comes out and brings food and says Mephibosheth is not with you, he doesn't feel like you. Mephibosheth is Yonatan's son that David had reached out to. But you remember that story. We'll get back to that a little later on also. In addition to that, David is now approached as he's fleeing by someone named Shimi ben Gera, the head of the Sanhedrin, who starts cursing him. Cursing him and throwing stones at him. If you can imagine the scene, Shimi ben Gera yotze yotze umikalel, cursing David. Vayisakel bavanim es David, v'skoavde amelech David. He starts throwing stones at David and all his servants, saying, say, say, ish hadamim v'ish habliyal, go away from here, you man of bloodshed, you low creature. David amelech, that's who he's criticizing. So this episode of Shimi ben Gera we'll get to next time as its own entity. I'll be away for a few weeks, so it'll be early March, because it's directly tied into the story of Purim. Works out perfectly. Right before Purim, we'll do it. In any event, if you look now at number 12, it's Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Dalid, now the action starts. Yoba Melech v'cholom asher ta'yefim, so the king finally found a resting place in Bahurim on the western side of the Jordan River. Avshalom and all his men came, Achitofel was with him. So now Hushai comes, as David had instructed him, and Hushai says to Avshalom, Yechi HaMelech, Yechi HaMelech. Long live the king. Avshalom is taken back. Because he says to Hushai, Zechastecho, Esrayecho, strange coming from him, because he's rebelling against the king, but he says to Hushai, this is the kindness that you repay your friend, David. Lomolo halach, Esrayecho. Why don't you follow your friend? Vayomer Hushai Avshalom, Hushai Arki is a very, very clever person. I mean that only in a positive sense. Lo! Ki asher bochar Hashem, b'om azeh, b'chol ish Yisrael. I'm found the one whom obviously God has chosen, and the people, and every man in Israel. Lo ayeh, v'toye shev, I'm with you, I want to be with that person. Vashenith, and secondly, you said, how could I betray my loyalty to David? L'mi ani evod, alo l'fnev, no. I'm still showing loyalty to David. Why? I'm serving his son. Kasher avadati l'fnev avicho, kein ayeh l'fanecho. As I served your father, so I will serve you. Whatever Hushai Arki said, it worked because Avshalom took him into the inner circle. And now we see the first devious, mischievous advice of Achitofel. You know, there's an Hebrew idiom, there's a phrase used until today, Atzat Achitofel. Atzat Achitofel is not just bad advice, but it's self-serving advice. Now we'll see why it's so. Vayomer Avshalom al Achitofel, Havu lachem etzah manaseh. It's pasuk chav. Give us advice. What do we do now? Vayomer Achitofel Avshalom, Bo afilak she'avicho. You recall from last time when David fled, he left his concubines in the palace. He can't chat with everybody. Now Achitofel says to Avshalom, go live with them. Have relations with filak she'avicho, your father's concubines, asher hiniach l'shmor abayis. Why? All of Israel will hear that you've shamed your father. And this will strengthen the hand of all those who have joined with you. Now why would he suggest such a heinous thing? Rashi, number 13, explains, now their hands are a little weak, meaning their desire to assist you is faltering somewhat. Because granted, David is David. People knew his greatness. He was a great warrior. And there has to be a reason, a valid, cogent reason why he should be overthrown and why his own son would overthrow him, rebel against him, and not be deemed a complete bum. So Achitofel said, you have to do something that they should realize that you will not reconcile with your father. Shamrim Billy Bum, these people are not following you wholeheartedly because they say to themselves, Haben Yischaret Eitzel Aviv, eventually the Son is going to reconcile with the Father. The underneath Snum Lamelech. Once Avshalom reconciles with David, David will hate us because we had joined the rebellion. Now you have to do something which shows them that you mean business. In fact, the Malbim in number 14 says that Achitophel did not want at first to reveal his hand. What did he want? He wanted David dead. He wanted Avshalom to kill David. But he was afraid to say it because he too didn't know Avshalom's true intentions. Would he be willing to go through with the rebellion? He wasn't convinced, Achitophel, that Avshalom would listen to him if he said, kill David. So therefore, Lochain Higdim Shetermi Agidis Atzaso, Mukhrach Sheyavav Shalom El Pilak Sheyaviv. Before he would reveal to him his real counsel, how to overthrow David, he wanted Avshalom to live with his father's concubines. Now, living with the king's concubines is a sign that you have usurped the monarchy, and now they are yours. Achitophel, in essence, wanted Avshalom to cross the Rubicon, where there's no turning back. Because now if he lives with David's wives, his concubines, Mikradin, they're not his wives, there's no Isser, necessarily, although it's not very chaste. He could not tell Avshalom yet to kill David, but he had to have Avshalom do something that was so repugnant that he would have no choice but to completely sever ties with David. So he hesitated until Avshalom crossed the point of no return. In fact, that's what Avshalom did here. And he did that. Vayatu Avshalom Ohel El Agag. They pitched the tent Avshalom on the roof. This is quite unchaste. Vayavo Avshalom El Pilak Sheaviv L'Nekol Yisrael. One by one. I think David had nine or ten concubines. One by one, they brought each one into the tent with him, and he lived with them. Vatzat Achitofel Asher Ya'atz Vayavim Ahem Kasher Yishalish B'dvar Elokim. Now the wisdom, the advice of Achitophel in those days, he was so wise and was so respected that if he said something, it was as if God said it. Kain kol atzas Achitophel gam l'David gam l'Avshalom. As the Gemara Brachos, Dav Gimel and Beis implied, Avshalom was the Yoetz. He was the counsel. His counsel was always followed. Now he said something which to us sounds abhorrent, despicable. Avshalom followed, and indeed it had its desired effect. Now, there was no turning back. With that, Avshalom turns to Achitophel for a second piece of advice. And you'll find that in number 15 on the flip side, beginning of Perek Yud-Zayin. Vayom Achitophel Avshalom, Evchara no Shneim Asar Elef Ish, Ve'akumo Ve'erduf Achrei David Haloyla. Achitophel said, let me choose 12,000 men, there's a symbolism of 12,000, 1,000 per tribe, and I will arise, and I will chase, Akumo Ve'erduf Achrei David Haloyla. I myself will chase after David at night, I will Vavo Allah Yageya Ufeyodayim, I'll come upon him when he's tired and weak. I'll frighten him and everyone with him. The others will flee. VKC as Hamelech Levado. And I myself will kill David by himself. Then Vashiva Cholom Elecha. I'll bring everyone back to you. Keshuva Kol Isha Sheratum Vekesh Kol Miyashalom. Everything will be fine. Vayishar Adavar Bene Avshalom. And the matter was Vayishar, proper in Avshalom's eyes. Uveinei kol ziknei Yisrael, and the eyes of all the elders who had gathered around. Now the Malbim notes the interesting phrase that's used. When we have good advice that is offered and accepted, the Tanakh always uses the expression vayitav hadavar, like vayitav hadavar b'nei hamelech in Megillas Esther. What's the difference between vayishar and vayitav? So the Malbim explains that Vayishar means it was acceptable. Vayishar, Yashar. but it didn't make it good. And the Malba maintains, like the Barbanel, unlike others, that Avshalom didn't really want to kill his father, or at least he was ambivalent about killing his father. So when Achitophel came with his brutish suggestion that he himself will go and kill David, Avshalom was a little taken aback. And he did something that was unusual in the context of the Dor, because we just read about how the council of Achitophel was treated. What did he do? Pasuk Hey, Vayomer Avshalom, Chrono Gam L'Chushai Arki, Kol Chushai V'Nishma Mabesiv Gamru. Let's hear what his suggestion is. Let's have Chushai Arki first comment on Achitophel's suggestion, and maybe he has one of his own. Chushai then says, and this says David, and this is the turning point of the story, Kadavor, they tell him, Kadavor Azed Diber Achitophel. This is what Achitophel said. Hanases dvaro imayin atadaber. Tell us, do we do this tonight or not? You speak. Vayomer Chushai Avshalom. Lo tova ha'itza asher ya'at Achitophel b'pam hazos. Notice he didn't repudiate Achitophel entirely. He said b'pam hazos, this time I don't think what he's saying is good. This time. Now, essentially, Achitophel had suggested to Avshalom that they mount a surprise attack with a small force against David and kill only David. Hushai had a different plan. Hushai said that Achitophel's proposal rests on two assumptions. One, this is the Novi says, the first assumption is that David and his men are weak, and the second assumption is that David is alone, he sleeps alone. So Hushai said, both in fact are wrong. Remember Hushai, Atayadata Savicha, Avshalom, Avi, you know your father, you know Anashav, you know his men, Ki Gibarim Hema, they're very powerful people, they're very great warriors. Umorei Nefesh Hema, and now they are embittered because they're on the run. Kidov Shakuba Sadeh, they're like a bereaved bear in the field. You don't want to antagonize a bereaved bear. Your father is a warrior. He's not sleeping with the people. So the premises, he said, of Achitophel's advice are both flawed. One, they're not weak, they're strong. So if you go with a small force, you'll lose. And secondly, David is not going to be sleeping amongst the men. He'll be in a cave. That's what the Navi goes on to say. He'll be hiding somewhere. So you'll wind up going with a force that will be overwhelmed by David, and in fact, you will lose. What is his suggestion? So he says, if you look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hiyoatzi, I'll tell you what to do. Heyosofi Yosef Alecha Kol Yisrael Midan Bar Sheva. First, you have to have national support across the board. So you have to have people from every tribe to show everyone that this is a national effort. It's not just a small band that wants over for a David. And of course, Hushai Arki knew to gather people from every tribe, it's going to take time. Time for David to regroup. And secondly, Ufanecha Hochim Bakrov. You have to lead the battle. It can't be Achitophel going out. Achitophel betrayed his enmity to David. It can't be Achitophel. It can't be Achitophel going out. You have to go out. Why did he want Avshalom to go out? Lead the battle? Because we know. Now he risks death or capture. By the same token, if he didn't do it, this is his argument, the people will feel that unlike David, who was a warrior, who killed the Goliaths, his son, with pretensions to the throne, is a coward. Doesn't want to go into battle. This, in fact, was Hushai's advice. Now, the essential difference between the two is Achitophel told Avshalom to mount a surprise attack with a small force at night. By the way, it wasn't a bad plan, but Hushai undermined that plan and said, you want to do the opposite. You want to overwhelm him with a large force, and by day, you come at night, you look like a thief. You come by day, you're asserting what you think are your absolute rights to the throne. Avshalom accepts. Hushai then sends informers to David to tell him of the plan, and David flees to Eva Hayardain. There's some intervening vignettes also. The informers, Achimas, who's the son of the Kohen, was almost caught, but eventually they escape, and David finds out. But with that, part of the story comes to an end, and that is Achitophel himself. If you look at number 18, it's Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chof Gimel. For some reason, we have to understand, Achitophel is very distressed that his advice is not taken. Achitophel ra'ah, ki lo nesu'atso so. Achitophel saw his advice was not carried out. Ve'achavoshes ha'chamor, he saddled his donkey. Va'yokom va'yelech el beiso liro, he went back to Gilo, right outside Yerushalayim, to a city. Ve'tzav el beiso, he instructed his family what to do after he died. Ve'chanek, he hanged himself. Suicide. Va'yomos va'yikover bekever aviv, he died and he was buried in his ancestral grave. Because what happened to him? What happened to Achitophel? It seems a very precipitous fall. So if you look at number 18 in Oz Melech of Rav Ariel, we won't read the whole piece, but essentially what he says very cogently is that Achitophel's advice was revealed by Avshalom to be irrational. To be irrational and therefore not worthy of rejection, not worthy of acceptance. And Avshalom also saw a personal animus that Achitophel had that led him to offer suggestions that were not in Avshalom's interest. And he said, what you see from here is the wisest people, when their emotions take over, they act in irrational ways. He says, the second line, Mitbarer, Shetzipiyotenem in Anashim, our expectations of people, Uvim Yuchad min Achachamim Shavahem, especially of the wisest of them, Lidnagud Rationalit, that they should conduct themselves rationally, there's really no grounds to rely on that. The fact is, any person who's biased in some way just cannot see that area. Oh, he says the most common example we have today is of the atheist scientist. Their disbelief in God is so powerful that notwithstanding their bright minds, they just can't see it. That part of the world is closed off to them. Rabbi Che used to say, it's like a person has a powerful searchlight in the dark. Very powerful searchlight. If you shine it here, you see everything. But if you don't shine it there, you don't see there. And that's the problem. The mind is that powerful searchlight, but it has to be willing. A bias closes up part of the mind, and that's what happened to Achitophel here. We could list the mistakes, but they're obvious already. Avshalom realized that he was precipitous in living with his father's tilaksha, because he's correct. Maybe there was some other way, but Achitophel pushed him into it. Avshalom is a kid. I shouldn't say he's a kid, because Avshalom and Achitophel are roughly the same age. Achitophel, I think, was 33 years old at this time. They're roughly the same age. But he's perceived as the elder statesman because everyone deferred to him. So that wasn't wise. And then that he should lead the battle against David. Notice what he said. Telltale words. Almost analogous somewhat to the way Haman portrayed himself to Ahasuerush, when Ahasuerush said, how should I honor the person that Shamel Chafetz Bikaro? And Haman thought it was him. Do this, the crown, the horse, etc. What does Achitophel say? Everything is in the first person. Evhara Shnei Masar Elefish. I'll choose. Ve'akuma, I will get up. Ve'erzufa, I will chase after David. The Avolav, I will come upon him. The Kesi Esamelech, I will kill him. Well, there are too many eyes in that pasuk. And what do the eyes reveal? So Avshalom saw through Achitophel, and he recognized at that moment that Achitophel's main interest is Achitophel. And as Achitophel betrayed David, if in fact the rebellion was successful, eventually Achitophel would plot against Avshalom. That's when he knew that he couldn't trust him. And at that moment, in an instant, Achitophel was such a chacham that he realized to himself the jig was up and no good would come of it. David would kill him if he ever captured him. and Avshalom would probably kill him afterwards. So Barbanel says he went and killed himself, so Harug HaMelech loses his estate. Not someone who just dies, so he protected his children's estate. Look at number 17. The Gemara Baba Basra says he went home and he instructed his family regarding his end, and afterwards, Tanar Abanon, Shlosha Dvarm Tzivach Itofel Ezbonon, he commanded regarding three things. Al Tiba Machlokas, don't get involved in disputes. Al Timur Duba Malchus Beis David, don't rebel against Malchus Beis David. And Chazal says, the Malbim implies this, and really, to me, it leaps out of the Tzukim. What changed his mind all in all? That he thought David was a Rasha who deserved it. And now we saw that his plan is not being accepted, and this is a person whose word was Dvar Elokim, it's Tashkocha. Tashkocha is going to see to it that David is restored, and that he's finished. So he said, Al Timdu Malchus Beis David. In Achitofel's mind, it confirmed to him the appropriate monarchy of Klal Yisrael is Malchus Beis David. And then he said, I guess it's good advice, the Yom Tavshalat Seres Barur Zaruchitim. If there's no rain on Shavuos, if it's good weather, plant wheat. Good crop when there's not going to be any rain. That's the last thing he said. Don't rebel against the king and plant wheat when it's good. Buy low, sell high. Those were his last words. Achitofel is now out of the picture. Avshalom is left with Hushai, follows Hushai's advice, and that's now number 19, which we skipped to Perek Yud Ches, beginning Pasuk Vav. Vayesa Omas Sodeh L'Kras Yisrael. So the battle is joined, the Navi tells us, in Yar Ephraim, which is actually in Transjordan. So the battle of Avshalom and David happened in Transjordan. David's advisors, who were sincere and committed, told him not to go to battle. They'll do the battle for him. He should stay in hiding, and he agreed. So in fact, what happened was the people went out to fight. Notice the word. The word should be frightening, except for our modern context. The people went out in the field against the army of Israel. So you have Jew fighting against Jew in Yar Ephraim. And the nation of Israel was defeated, smitten by the servants of David. 20,000 Jews died on that day. Very heavy casualties in his battle. And the battle spread out across the land, even beyond the forest. Avshalom then happened upon David's servants. He is now running away. His army has been routed. He is fleeing. Avshalom, his famous end, infamous end, Avshalom rochev al apered. He's riding on a mule. Vayavo apered tachas sovech ha'ila gdola. And his mule comes under the thick branches of an elm tree. Vayachezak rosho v'ila. And his head, remember, he had long hair, nazir olam. His hair weighed 4 shekels. His long hair got caught in the branches of a tree. The mule ran off. Vayutan ben ha-shamayim uvein ha-aretz. And he was suspended between heaven and earth. Vaper asher tachtov avor. The mule rode off into the sunset. So there, Avshalom was fleeing. There he's suspended, caught by his hair. Why did he cut himself free? It's an interesting Rashi, number 20. Rashi says, Amrav Oseinu, Shalach Harbo Lakutzaro. He unsheathed his sword to cut his hair, cut himself free. Vira Gehenim Psucha Tachtav. He saw Gehenim open up underneath him. That's a phrase you have also a number of times in Divrei Chazal. Same thing with Yitzchok. When Esav said, I'm Esav, now Yaakov, Yitzchok trembled. And Rashi there says the exact same phrase. What does the phrase mean? At that moment he saw he made a terrible mistake. He made a terrible mistake. He was wrong in the rebellion. Everything that he had devoted his recent life to was an error, and he did not deserve to live. He did not want to confront his father. He did not expect anything else. And he realized at that moment, these aren't the, you know, simple people we're dealing with. He realized at that moment exactly what had happened to him. He's still alive, though. He's hanging from his hair. A person saw him and said to Yoav, so Yoav said, why don't you kill him? And the person said, I can't kill the Ben HaMelech. So Yoav said, and now we're in Pasuk Yudalid, Vayomer Yoav, Lo chein ochilu fanech, I'm not going to ask you then. Vayikach shlosha shvatim b'chapo, Yoav took three rods in his hand, Vayisqa'im b'lev Avshalom, and he stabbed Avshalom's heart with them, thrust them into his heart, Odenu chai b'lev haylo, but he was still alive with these three sticks in his heart. Then Vayasobu, he was still alive with these three sticks in his heart. So then Vayasobu Asar Ne'arim, Nosekla Yoav, his 10 armor bearers came, Vayakus Avshalom Vaymisu, and they just beat him. They beat Avshalom until he was dead. Vayiska Yoav Vashofar, he blew the shofar, they all gathered around. Ki Chosach Yoav Esa'om, Yoav restrained the people from any more fighting. Why? The rebel is dead. If the rebel is dead, now the time for healing has come, which I think is the phrase, now that I say it, that you all remember Grant used at Appomattox when Lee surrendered, that no more war is necessary, the time of healing has come. And that's why he said, let them take their swords back to the south, because the plowing season and their horses, well, the plowing season is April. 65. Remember like it was yesterday. The plowing season has started. The time of healing has come. So Yoav, stop them. You know, in the heat of battle, you just want to kill. No. Yoav said the time has come to stop. Avshalom lokach previously, I'm sorry, by Yichus Avshalom, they took his body, by Ashlichosu Bayar, they threw it into the forest, El Apachas HaGadol, to a great pit, they had Tzivul of Galav Anim Gadol Ma'od, and they erected a very large mound of stones around it, and everyone else fled back to the tent. Now, interesting pasuk Yud Ches, the end of this number 19. Previously, Avshalom lokach vayatzev lo b'chayov es matzeves asher be'imek hamelech. Previously, Avshalom had erected a monument to himself. I suppose as he was leaving, fleeing to the east, in the valley of the king, what we know today is the valley of Kidron. Kiyomar, because he said, "Ein li ven b'horas kirshma, I have no son who's going to cause my name to be remembered." Now, in fact, he had sons, and nobody said that previously, but either they died or they were unworthy. Vayikra l'matzeves al shmo, he called the matzeves, the pillar, after his own name. Vayikare lo, he called it Yad Avshalom. Ad Yom Hazeh. Yad Avshalom until today, and in fact, until today, Yad Avshalom. Mefarshim differ. The Radak actually said that his body was later taken. Yad Avshalom, of course, is now on the eastern side of the old city in Nachal Kidron, between the walls of the old city and Har Zeitim, right next to the burial place of Yehoshaphat. The Radak actually says that the body was exhumed and buried underneath Yad Avshalom, but most of the Mefarshim don't maintain that, and I think that's commonly what the guides will tell people today. That's right near where your daughter lives. In the neighborhood. The guides will tell people that Avshalom is not buried there, and from the simple shot in the Novi, he's not buried there, but he erected that as a pillar to himself, or maybe better said, a pillar to his folly. What did he realize? The 22, the Gemara in Sota, the Daf Testament Beis, Avshalom Nizgoya Besaro, he became haughty because of his hair, Lefichach Nitla Besaro, therefore he was hanged by his hair. The issue we discussed last week about what hair represented to him. Ulafisha Balasa Pilakshaviv, because he lived with his father's 10 concubines, I guess there were 10. Lafika Nasnu Bo Esa Lumbios, therefore they struck him with 10 clubs, the soldiers of Yoav. And Lafisha Gonav Gimel Ginovos, he stole three things, Lev Aviv, Lev Basin, Lev Yisrael, the heart of his father, and a basin of the Jewish people. So therefore, Yoav stabbed him with these three rods. So all Nida Keneged Nida, and that is what Avshalom realized when his end came. There's only one part of the story, the tragic story, that is still left for us to discuss. And that is what happens now to David. So David, Ahimaaz actually comes back from the battlefield, and Ahimaaz says to him, Shalom! And the king bows to him and says, Baruch Hashem, you came back from the battlefield, everything must be well. And Ahimaaz didn't have the heart to tell David what happened. Then someone else, called Hakushi, comes and tells David that everyone is dead. Everyone is dead, including Avshalom. So look now, number 21, one of the moving passages in Tanakh. Vayirgaz HaMelech, the king trembled. And no, this is Avshalom wanted to kill him, at least overthrow him. Yet, his son, the king trembled. Vayal el al-aliasa shar vayev, he climbed to the upper chamber of the gate, and he cried. Yecho amar b'lechto, this is what he said, he kept saying again and again. Bini Avshalom, my son Avshalom. Bini, bini Avshalom. My son Avshalom. Mi tein musi, ani tachtecho. Would that I would have died in your place. Avshalom, bini, bini. Avshalom, my son. And then Yoav was told that he's crying like this. Vayisabel Avshalom. And the people were distraught. And everyone starts crying over Avshalom. And the king says again, Vahamelch lo'atas panov, he wrapped his face. Vayizak hamelch kol gadol, bini Avshalom, Avshalom, bini bini. So what's happening here? Rashi says, according to the Gemara Sota, number 24, bini bini, shmona pomim amr avoseinu. He said, bini, my son, eight times. He cried out for him. Shiva da'aske mi shiva midori gehenom, seven times. To lift him from the seven depths of the netherworld, v'chad da'aisi la'alma da'osi, and one that Avshalom should be zocha l'chayel mabo. How that works, I'm not sure. But what David was saying is that at this point he maintains that he cannot take it on faith that Avshalom would have killed him or would have overthrown him. He thinks Avshalom was used by others. He doesn't accept it. Look at, and all he sees is his son. His son is gone. Look at the Malbim in 23. Shagam shemaradu mara, even though he rebelled. Hu bocha lov mishtei tamim, he's still crying for two reasons. One, b'bnei shalohoya b'daita la'roga saviv. Rak l'moch tachtov. What did Avshalom want? The Malbim says, not to kill his father. That was Achitofel's advice. He just wanted to rule. So he said, Bini Avshalom, Bini, Bini Avshalom. Hayisa Bini, lo ka'achzor v'zor l'argeni. You were my son, not a cruel stranger would kill me. And you were Bini, Bini, Bini o'ikari haro'i l'mloch tachtoi. You really were worthy to rule. So the fact that he wanted to rule was not wrong. It was just impetuous. Just like David couldn't wait with Bathsheba. He consumed her before she was ripe. So too, Avshalom wanted to consume the monarchy before it was ripe. And secondly, and he realized at that point that all this came about because of his own sin and the prophecy of the Navi. David is distraught. He's so distraught that he antagonizes Yoav. Another amazing passage in the Tanakh. Yoav attacks David. Yoav is chief of staff. He's also David's nephew. But he says to David, what are you crying about? It's an insult to me, to the men, and to the people who supported you. Vayomer Yoav el HaMelech HaBoyis. Vayomer. Hovashta hayom es pnei chol avadecho. Hamimaltim es nafshech hayom. Now you've embarrassed, you've humiliated all your servants. And your sons and daughters who are with you, and your pilagshim as well. La'ava sonecha, to love your enemy. V'lisnoa sarvecha, to hate those who love you. What are we, Christians? Higadata hayom, hein lechosrim avadim ki adati hayom ki lo avshalom chai v'chuloyim meisim. If in fact you had your way, Avshalom is still alive, we'd all be dead. Ki oz yashar beinecha. Is that what you want? That's what you're crying over? You're antagonizing us by mourning him? You're grieving somewhat to kill all of us. That's all, Yoav said. Now, kum say, stop crying, go out to your people, v'daber alev avadecha, and go speak to them. Ki v'ashem nishbati, I swear by God, kein choyot say, if you do not go out, im yolinish etcha halayla, v'ra'ol l'chazos nikar shabar lecha minarecha ad ato. If you don't go out, then no person will spend the night with you, and it'll be worse for you than any harm you've ever experienced in your life. That's tough love from Yoav. He's a tough character. What does David say? David's greatness. He said, Yoav, you're right. You're right. And his grieving stopped, and he went out. He was grieving uncontrollably until Yoav rebuked him, and then David, in an act of greatness, reconciles with the people and regains the monarchy. And so ends this rebellion and this tragedy. Maybe the worst of all of David's tragedies. Look at number 25, the bottom right in Ozmelach. Hamilchama b'Avshalom kasha l'David mikol mechamotav. The war against Avshalom was the worst of all of David's wars. Ad ata hayu mechamotav mechamot Hashem l'man ha'umah. Now, until then, David's battles were God's battles for the people, for the nation, Arzot, land, Kodos, honor. V'ilu ata, now though, ne'elatz David l'ashub l'ilachem l'chama p'nimit. Now he has to fight an internal war. Well, we all know the internal wars have no easy resolution. V'apam mul b'no, and now the war is against his own son. That's different. So the Gemara says in a different context, kashak tarbut ra'vetof v'social adam, yotel m'muchemet gog v'magog. That internal strife, bad vibes in a person's house, are worse than Melchemes Gog u'Magog. Melchemes Gog u'Magog at least has some resolution. There'll be a winner and a loser. But inside a family, inside a people, those wounds are very hard to heal. Nitzachon b'melchama zo eino afshari. It's not possible to win such a war. Did David win against Avshalom? Technically. Did he really win? So as the phrase goes in English, he has in Hebrew, O nitzachon kazev avadnu. One more such victory, and we're all lost. Nitzchono kishono. His victory is the same as his defeat. Alav laroget v'no. He had to kill his son. Says, or his son died as a result. So that really is no victory. It's the worst of all blows, the worst of all tragedies. Of course, Avshalom had his own bechira, but at the end of the day, David's monarchy is restored and secured. His enemies seek his reconciliation. And now, at least for a brief time, David will have some respite in his melucha. Like every tragedy, like many tragedies, there's no happy ending here, except for one thing. David recognizes that he's regained the Chein Hashem and the Chein Ha'om, God's favor and the favor of the people, and now he begins to prepare his legacy for his son Shlomo. And he realizes something else as well. With this, not only is the rebellion and the tragedy of Avshalom finished, but so ends also the punishment for the sin of Bathsheba. Because the Navi had said, before punishments, four evils will arise in your house. The child who died, Amnon and Tamar, and Avshalom. Now that's done. Now that's done, David himself can have a little consolation that he could focus on what Malchus Yisrael is supposed to be, God's spearhead into the world of ideas and into the world of truth. All right, I thank you very much.